Hello, and welcome to Viewpoints, soon to be called Eyes on Success, a weekly program of information on the ever-changing world of accessibility. Now here are the hosts of this program, Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey.
Hello, I'm Nancy.
And I'm Pete. Well, it's that time of year again. Time for our year-end review.
We'll celebrate completing two full years of airing Viewpoints, hear the history of the show, and enjoy some tips and clips from people we've interviewed, along with notable show highlights from 2012 and a preview of some exciting topics we'll be covering in the renamed show, Eyes on Success, in 2013. But first, for our tip of the week. This week's tip is, there's lots of good advice out there, and here's some good advice we've gotten from our interviewees in the second half of 2012.
Life is tough, and oftentimes tough stuff comes to us and we don't get to choose. You know, blindness is one of those things we don't always get to choose that's happened. That said, moving on from it, if we're willing to go and find the hard stuff first, when you do the hard stuff on your own terms, then when other hard stuff comes to you, you're more prepared to handle it.
When you have seen settings where you have very bright, productive people, if they just had the tools that gave them the access they needed, you know, it lets them become just as productive as anyone else who might apply for a certain situation.
You should define yourself for your interests and things like that. You know, in my case, sometimes actually, you know, my interest in organizations like Foundation Fighting Blindness and such, like, it's part of that. But I think, you know, that's not the only part of it. You know, you want to introduce yourself to people for like who you are.
To be equal members of society means basically taking the same burdens that society has to. And so learning the tools, picking up the right tool that's for you, I mean, it's probably could be a separate podcast on tools because there's many of them out there, but it is very important. Get on it. Start out very small, and then, you know, if you need any help, you can use social media for asking for the help.
The technology, I think, is one of the things that is just so absolutely amazing about what's happening right now. I think it's one of the great reasons why the blind, visually impaired community needs to stay connected to one another is because one person will hear about some technology, and, you know, when you're talking to your blind, visually impaired friends, and the topic of technology always comes up, and somebody's always heard of a device or a product or has figured out a workaround for something, and I think that that's one of the things that's bringing the community together.
I think it's important to be prepared when the opportunity comes along. That's why I went back to school. I always worked hard on the job. And if you're prepared when the opportunity knocks on the door, then you can open that door and take advantage of that opportunity. If you're just sitting at home wishing you had a career as a computer programmer, it's probably not going to happen.
So that was Joshua Loya from show 1229 talking about martial arts for the blind, and he's got 3 second-degree black belts in various martial arts, 2 of which involve weapons. Tony Schenk from show 1234, talking about Braille embossers and displays. He's the president of Enabling Technologies. Rebecca from show 1249, talking about getting oriented at college. She's a highly successful and motivated freshman at Carnegie Mellon University. Victor Tsaran from show 1240, talking about using social media. Hence his tip about using social media to get help with things you might need help with. Carl Ritter, also known as Bats, from show 1243, talking about extreme sports hiking. He had just completed the 2,200-mile-long Appalachian Trail. And Ted Henter from show 1233, talking about the development of the JAWS screen reader.
Well, that brings back memories from some of those shows. You might want to go back and listen. Turning now to our low-tech item, we have something a little unusual. Lynn Leith of the DAISY Consortium decided to turn the tables on us one day and interview us about Viewpoints.
Hi, everyone. My name is Lynn Leith, and I'm with the DAISY Consortium. And today, for a bit of a change, I'm going to interview Peter and Nancy.
And here's a clip from that interview.
On to Viewpoints. You guys host the program? It airs every week. You share your life experiences and information about living with vision loss. You cover things from everyday activities up to the high-tech end. Whose idea was Viewpoints, and what made you decide to host the show as volunteers?
We gave a pretty long version of this story in the Mid-Year Highlights program from 2011, show number 1126. So this will be a little bit abbreviated.
You should abbreviate it.
But it all started when our friend Bob suggested that we volunteer to staff the phone bank for the local NPR fund drive. And we did that, and through that we met Ruth Finney, who's the program director for not only the FM branch of our local NPR affiliate, but she's also the director of the radio reading service called Reach Out Radio. And I started volunteering just as a regular reader, and I'd come in every week or two and read a section of the local paper. And I was just a sub. I didn't have a regular time slot. And one day, Ruth caught me in the hall and she said, you know, I've had this dream. I have listeners who keep calling me up and they say, I know there's got to be information about stuff I can use to make my life easier, but I don't know where to find it. And so Ruth had this idea, wouldn't it be great to have a show that talked about products, services, and daily living tips for people with vision loss? And she caught me in the hall one day. She said, geez, you know, between the two of you, you know an awful lot about this stuff. How would you like to host a program like this? And it took her about 6 months to talk us into it. And the program has grown to so much more than that original vision at this point, and it's pretty much taken over our lives. But we love it. We just love it, and we love getting comments from people from all over the world.
It's a terrific show. It really is. And it offers something for everybody. What do you think that your show achieves, and what does Viewpoints give back to you?
Well, one thing I think is neat is communications and how people interact has really changed over the past decade. And this is really a great example of that. It enables people to network around the world and share their experiences and just know about the successes and the wonderful things that people, even with disabilities, are doing around the world. You know, there aren't enough visually impaired people in one community to have this kind of networking and communication together. But through the medium of the internet, Skype, Google Talk, and tools like that, we've managed to make connections with people all over. To me, it's very interesting. I mean, you learn how things are done in other countries. I mean, we take a lot for granted in the U.S. here in terms of resources that are available, services that are available to help the visually impaired. This isn't necessarily true around the rest of the world. And just to see these successes, I think, is very motivational, not only for us, but for other people.
So it actually helps you to understand what's going on in the rest of the world in terms of what people are doing, what services are available. So it's, you're not only helping other people to understand and stay in touch, you're learning from it yourselves.
We are learning a tremendous amount. One of the reasons we were reticent about starting the show initially was, you know, sure, I know a lot about being blind and, you know, Nancy's been along the trip the whole way, but, you know, really, how much do we know? We could have had enough information for two or three shows, but, you know, it's just mushroomed as we learn more, make new connections. Some of these things I would have never thought about before.
So if there's a topic that neither one of us is knowledgeable about, but we think would be interesting to our listeners, we find somebody who is knowledgeable about it and interview that person.
So your program obviously has evolved. And what is its secret for success?
We get comments from listeners. We get comments from some of the other radio reading services that air it. And the one comment that seems to continuously be repeated is they love our conversational nature.
Yes.
You know, we're chatty, and so we provide a lot of information, but it's a back and forth kind of thing. We never have a long block of any one person talking on and on and on about any one topic. It's always chunked up and with reaction and with explanation and with time to absorb the main points and reinforcement. And I think that's one of the reasons. And plus, we've had some fascinating guests who are knowledgeable about all sorts of stuff.
It's enjoyable to listen to. It really is. So congrats to both of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Of the shows you've done, what are your top two or three favorites? Or do you have favorites?
I guess my favorite is the fact that it runs the gamut from talking with the developer of the hotspot clicker utility to talking with someone who raises a guide dog and talking about our personal experiences going hiking with Pete being visually impaired and, you know, all sorts of different topics. And it's just the diversity of it that's like so exciting to me.
I agree. I mean, it's hard to pick out a favorite. I mean, some of these topics, you know, initially, maybe Nancy may have proposed them and I would have thought, gee, I'm not so interested in that. And it turned out to be fascinating.
And if you want to hear more of our conversation with Lynn, show 1226, which was our mid-year review, features more of her interviewing us. And then show 1235 features parts of the interview we did of her about the DAISY Consortium and the DAISY format.
So as we mentioned during that interview with Lynn, the show has really evolved over the past 2 years. We're become experts on putting up a website and making the podcast available to people. And now we're doing all of the production and editing right in our house here and all the recordings from here. So it's, as Nancy said, it's really taken over our lives and been a lot of fun.
And at this point, Viewpoints is aired on 14 radio reading services across the United States and Canada, 3 internet streaming services, and we average about 700 or 800 downloads a week to people in over 80 countries.
You are listening to Viewpoint.
This week's focus topic is highlights from 2012 episodes of Viewpoints and previews of some topics for 2013 on the renamed show Eyes on Success. To illustrate some of the topics we've covered, we'll be playing some clips that are either memorable or humorous or otherwise wormed their way into this show.
We tried to pick out some of the most fun ones that will bring back some of the good memories that you might have had from listening to previous shows.
So the first one we're going to play for you is a show where we interviewed a woman who's narrated over 500 books for the National Library Service for the Blind and Physically Handicapped. Let's listen to a little clip we have of her reading a book.
Memoirs of a Geisha by Arthur Golden. Copyright 1997 by Arthur Golden. Read by Yolande Bavan. Chapter 1. Suppose that you and I were sitting in a quiet room overlooking a garden, chatting and sipping at our cups of green tea while we talked about something that had happened a long while ago. And I said to you, that afternoon when I met so-and-so was the very best afternoon of my life, and also the very worst afternoon.
I was so taken with that passage when I heard her read that I had to download the book and read it. And she had some fascinating stories to tell about what the narrators have to do to make these audiobooks.
Another popular topic was access to computers and telephones, and these days the line between one and the other has been somewhat blurred. Well, here's Mike Arrigo talking about the names of the operating systems for Android.
The new Android 4.0, of course, is out now. Ice Cream Sandwich. What a tasty name for an Android version. All of theirs are desserts. 1.5 was cupcake. Then 1.6 was a donut. 2.1 was eclair. I'm not sure what that is. I guess
it's a French pastry.
Oh, okay. 2.2 was frozen yogurt. 2.3 was a gingerbread. And then 4.0. Well, Android 3 was just for tablets. It wasn't for smartphones. And that was known as a honeycomb. And then now we're up to Android 4.0, which does kind of consolidate the tablet and smartphone lines all as one OS, and that's known as Ice Cream Sandwich.
So that was Mike Arrigo doing a little bit of a cameo during shows 1227 and 1228, which primarily featured interviews and demos with Access Anna. And based on a listener request, we're bringing the two of them back early in 2013, and we'll have them together talking about the newest Android operating system, Jelly Bean.
Boy, with names like that, no wonder so many people love the Android operating system.
Another category we delved into was education. You may remember Rebecca's tip at the beginning of this show. Well, here's a little piece of that interview. I gather growing up you had your own room, and when you got to college, most freshmen get a roommate. How did that work out?
Not well. I initially had a roommate. You know, you don't necessarily have to have a roommate. Sometimes it just doesn't work out. And that's kind of part of college. You know, not all roommates work out. I mean, even my sighted friends have roommate problems. So
I remember those from my college days.
Yeah.
So I gather there were some issues about your roommate not being careful to keep her stuff off the floor.
I mean, like, people who don't have visual impairments, they don't necessarily make the considerations that we do about, like, safety and stuff like that. So, like, my roommate would just kind of leave her stuff on the floor and I would trip over it. So it was, that's a clear problem. My room is always immaculate. People will come into my room and I'll be like, why is it so clean? They're like, you can see the floor. I'm like, yeah, I know. I want to keep it that way. Those little things that I view differently. It's like, not like I clean my room because I'm a neat freak. I clean my room because I don't want to trip over my own stuff. Like, everything has a place.
Yep, that's our house.
How do you find it again if you don't remember where you left it?
You got it. Even in the refrigerator, everything has its place.
Yeah.
And that was show 1249. So another interview we did was with Dave Engebretson. He's a professor of geology. And as his vision was failing, he discovered that he couldn't see the graphs of the data that he was interested in looking at. And so he developed a means for converting these visual graphs into audio graphs. And in show 1248, we played lots and lots of examples of some of this interesting geological data that he had converted to sound. And here's one that we've been getting lots of comments about.
So I think you have to map this into global warming, you know, because there's all this.
Yeah, there's one on global warming in here. A couple of them.
Well, answer the question for us then. Are we experiencing global warming?
Well, yeah.
We can hear if it's happening, maybe.
What I had to do is you look up a paper that had global warming mapped against time from 1800 to 2000.
Mm-hmm.
And it was tree rings and, like, I was sitting there and glacial advances. All these six or seven different ways that they could proxy temperature.
Uh-huh.
And then I let their proxy temperature be at the higher frequency and the tone, the higher temperature.
Mm-hmm.
And started out in 1800 and I just programmed the drum beat here and used that for marking 50 years.
Mm-hmm.
That was 1800. Those are one-year bursts. Just kind of playing around a little bit.
Mm-hmm. 1850.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, but that's interesting. Wow, that's really dramatic.
Yeah, it is.
Oh, yeah.
And all the different surrogates are going up at the same time.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
That's it.
Anyway, what else do we have for our listeners?
Well, in show 1219, we interviewed Marilyn Winograd and Lillian Rankel about some tools they had developed to enable visually impaired elementary and high school students to learn science. And one of the things they did was they developed a book of science experiments that are appropriate to visually impaired children. And one of them has the child filling glasses with different amounts of water. And if you tune the glasses with just the right amount of water in each, you can actually play a tune.
In this case, I got to be the child. Okay, here we go. That was all with a metal spoon.
Cheers.
Well, that wasn't so bad, but I enjoy playing the piano more. Anyway, another interesting show we did was to learn a little bit about guide dogs.
We interviewed Pam Boy in show 1209 to talk about how she raised guide dogs. And what you're going to hear is her dog, Casey, who she was training, and the dog was trained to ring a bell when it had to go to the bathroom, and you had to walk it.
Good girl.
Could you get her to do that again?
Casey, get your bells. Get your bells. Is it time to go out, sweetie?
Now that is a well-trained dog.
Oh, she was so cute. By now, she's probably in her final training with her forever person and on her way to being a full-fledged guide dog. But when we met her, she was a five-month-old puppy. So another category we talked about was the arts. We visited the Ontario Science Center in Toronto, Ontario, Canada.
We love museums.
Oh, especially science museums. And we learned about some of their non-visual exhibits.
Upcoming, we have the circus exhibition. There's also a smells exhibit in there about the smells that you smell in the circus.
Oh, boy.
you don't like the smell of candy? Or of
Cotton candy and elephant manure?
Well, yeah, there's that as well. Yes.
I guess we'll see when we see the smell exhibit, right?
Yeah.
Boy, science museums sure can be fun. If you'd like to listen to that show again, listen to show 1223.
We also talked about extreme sports for the blind, including skiing, hiking, martial arts, and canoeing. Now, who would think canoeing would be an extreme sport? Well, Jose Tamayo organized and led a 65-mile canoe paddle through the Florida jungle, and there were all sorts of animals out there, and it was quite a trip. And he talked about that in show 1221. So I gather there wasn't enough water for there to be any alligators in the river. Were there any dangerous animals on the shore?
We saw one gator at night.
Where?
We saw him in our last campsite at night. It was Saturday night. We were sitting out there at the camp. And I say to these guys, hey, I heard something. And my brother-in-law says, hey, guys, if Jose heard something, there's something out there. So we all get up and we start walking around. And they're imagining it's pitch dark out here. And they went out there and there was a gator by the canoes out there. He's just sitting out there waiting, just relaxing.
So what do you bet you were relaxing, too, once you detected the alligator.
Oh, everybody was alert. Everybody was alert.
What do you do at that point? You just keep an eye on it?
They don't bother anybody. We just stay where we are. But usually they rely on me for listening out for things like that.
You know, people are always asking me if blind people can hear better than other people. Well, I'm not sure that they can, but they certainly pay attention more to things that they hear. Good thing for Jose and his crew.
We also talked about some tamer pastimes, such as knitting, birding, and ham radio. And here's Tim McGee from show 1231 on ham radio.
Hello, CQ, calling CQ 40 meters. This is WB2KAO, Whiskey Bravo 2 Kilo Alpha Oscar, WB2KAO at Rochester, New York, calling CQ 40 meters and listening.
So if you'd like to hear any of those shows, if you didn't hear them before and you think the story might be fun, or if you've heard them before and you just want to relive the story, we keep a full archive of all these shows on our website, and you can download or listen to these shows from our website. And I'll give you the new website. It's www.eyesonsuccess.net, and look for the link that says podcast and show archives.
So that was just some highlights from 2012. In the first few months of 2013, Eyes on Success will cover some really interesting topics, such as JSAY, which combines using JAWS and Dragon, upgrades to the new Android operating system, Jelly Bean, services from the National Library Service for the blind and physically handicapped. We'll talk about the history of speech synthesizers with somebody from Nuance. And we've got a potter and a lawyer and a journalist and somebody who does extreme travel. Imagine going to Antarctica being blind. So we hope you'll come back in 2013 and listen to some of those shows. Now for this week's high-tech item, our web presence under the new name Eyes on Success. In case you haven't caught it, because we've been saying this for a month or more, today is the final episode of Viewpoints, and starting next week, the show will be called Eyes on Success.
But don't worry, nothing else is changing about the show. It's still the same format, and it will be available at the same times and to the same services.
Our homepage will be www.eyesonsuccess.net. On Facebook will be Eyes on Success. We're having trouble changing our Twitter name. It's a long story, so that's still Viewpoints Plus. And if you want to reach us by email, that's hosts@eyesonsuccess.net.
The Google group has also been changed, and all of our old subscribers are now moved over to the new list. And the new Google group is eyesonsuccess@googlegroups.com. And if you'd like to subscribe to this Google Groups and become a member of our listener email forum, you can do that by sending an email to eyesonsuccess, followed by the plus sign, followed by subscribe@googlegroups.com. And if you send an email note there, you can participate in our email forum where many of our listeners have joined, and we actually have some of the people we've interviewed join. So if you'd like to follow up with questions about the show or follow up with questions to people we've interviewed, that's a good place to do it.
And on the website, you'll find access to the podcast, the entire archive going back to the very first show, 1101, that was 2 years ago. Show notes for every show with links and phone numbers. And there's a What's New section near the top of the homepage, and with some news items, and those have been collected into a blog. And there's even some information about the two of us with a couple of pictures, each of which, of course, has been tagged with alternate text.
We should also mention that up until now, there have been two feeds for our podcast. One has been through the WXXI Reach Out Radio website, and the other one has been through the Viewpoints Plus website. Those will be consolidated in 2013 so that all the podcasts will be available only from the www.eyesonsuccess.net website. So if you're using the Reach Out Radio podcast site, you might want to switch over if you're not getting your podcast anymore.
That's it for show number 1252. Next week on Eyes on Success, formerly called Viewpoints, we'll be talking about JSAY and MagnaTalk with Edward Rosenthal, president of Next Generation Technologies, the North American distributor of both. They combine Dragon Naturally Speaking with either JAWS or Zoom Text to enable speech input and navigation control. If you have any questions regarding something you've heard about on the show, or you'd like to share an idea for a future show, send an email to contact@viewpointsplus.net or call us at 585-258-0333, and we'll try to address your question in an upcoming program.
You've been listening to Viewpoints, hosted and produced by Nancy Goodman-Torpey and Peter Torpey, and distributed by WXXI Reach Out Radio. For detailed information or a full archive of programs, visit www.viewpointsplus.net. You can also follow us on Facebook or Twitter at Viewpoints Plus. We hope you will join us again next week for more information and updates on products for accessible living. And remember, beginning in January, we'll have a new name, Eyes on Success.